Cluster B personality disorders are characterized by dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thoughts and behavior. From Ars Longa Media, this is Cluster B, scientifically informed, expert insights into the four Cluster B personality types, antisocial, borderline, narcissistic, and histrionic personality disorder. Here's today's host, Dr. Todd Grande.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I can offer some examples of histrionic personality disorder symptom manifestations. So really looking at the different symptom criteria and offering some examples of how those symptoms may look in real life. If you find this video to be interesting or helpful, please like it and subscribe to my channel. That way you won't miss anything new. Now we talk about histrionic personality disorder. We're talking about a cluster B personality disorder in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. And we see here that it's a pervasive pattern of excessive emotionality and attention seeking. There are 8 symptom criteria, and 5 of the 8 must be met for diagnosis. I'm going to go through each of these 8 symptom criteria and offer different examples of symptom manifestations. It's important to recognize here that a lot of times when we think of histrionic personality disorder, we think of a client who is female. But histrionic personality disorder also affects males. And there's some studies that suggest that more males may be affected by histrionic personality disorder than we previously believed. So I'll start here with the first symptom criterion. This is being uncomfortable in situations where an individual is not the center of attention. So some examples here might be, say, in an occupational setting, a work setting. There is a meeting going on. An individual with histrionic personality disorder enters the room and scans the room, looks at everybody, and makes eye contact. So they look to make eye contact with as many people as they can in that room. Now, it's important to remember here that individuals with histrionic personality disorder tend to have high scores in all 6 facets of extroversion when we look at the 5-factor model. So this shouldn't be surprising with scanning the room and attempting to make eye contact. Now, another example here in the same situation would be that there might be an ongoing conversation that's occurring in the room, perhaps about a project that everybody's working on. And in an effort to gain attention, the individual with the disorder may inject themselves into the current conversation without catching up, without really knowing what the conversation is about. And oftentimes, with this injection into the conversation, we see some sort of dramatic statement. So if the individuals were talking about a project, the individual with the disorder might say, this project's going to fail miserably. So it's kind of like creating a scene in order to get attention. Now, looking at the second symptom criterion here, we see sexually seductive or provocative behavior. Now, this one's fairly straightforward, but it's important to recognize that it occurs in professional, social, and occupational settings. So an example here might be an individual with this disorder may suggest the possibility of a sexual encounter when they're working with their attorney, their automobile mechanic, or a salesperson. And oftentimes, this makes the situation particularly uneasy. So it causes a lot of strain between that individual with histrionic personality disorder and that professional person. Now, looking at symptom criterion 3, we see rapidly shifting and shallow emotions. So an example here might be if an individual with histrionic personality disorder is coming into work, and they tell all of their coworkers that they are extremely depressed. At the same time, they're crying, maybe even in a manner that seems uncontrollable. And then after something else occurring, or maybe nothing happens, that mood shifts to happy and excited, and they might refer to themselves as being on top of the world. So we have this rapidly shifting component, of course, but also there's no depth. The emotions don't seem to be well established and firm, but rather they're subject to being changed very quickly. The next symptom criterion is using one's physical appearance to draw attention. And this is similar to the first symptom criteria, always needing to be the center of attention. And in some ways, it's similar to the second, being sexually seductive and provocative. There's an overlap here with criterion 4 and both of those symptom criteria. So some examples here might be dressing provocatively, dressing in a distinctive way. We know that individuals with histrionic personality disorder seem to be resistant to negative feedback. So this style of dress that really attracts attention may attract negative feedback, but the individual would not respond, and they would continue to dress in that manner. Of course, it's not always apparel that's used to attract attention with physical appearance. We see a number of other aspects. Another aspect we see sometimes is the use of jewelry. And a lot of times with histrionic personality disorder, we picture really excessive amounts of jewelry and a lot of large stones, like really flashy jewelry. And sometimes this will be worn prominently, but also shown to people. So the individual with the disorder will make sure other people see what jewelry they're wearing. The next symptom criterion, criterion 5, is a style of speech that is excessively impressionistic and lacks detail. Now, a lot of times when we think of the word impressionistic, we think of something that's over-global and lacks detail. So the term lacking detail in this particular symptom criterion is a bit redundant, but is probably used there because impressionistic is not a word we see very often, so it might not be clear what it means. So an example here would be in a work setting, if there's a new delivery driver. So say that something's delivered regularly to this work setting. There's this new delivery driver, and they come in, and the individual with histrionic personality disorder has an extremely dramatic opinion, like they're the best driver ever, and they're so excited to see them every time they come in. But when questioned about why, there would be no good reason. So again, you have this impressionistic piece that lacks detail. Criterion 6 is the next symptom criterion, and this is an exaggerated expression of emotions. This is similar to the rapidly shifting and shallow emotions from criterion 3, as well as the impressionistic speech from criterion 5. So an example here might be in the greeting of other people, particularly somebody who's an acquaintance and not really any type of friend, particularly not a close friend. So instead of a greeting that would be considered in the normal range, something we'd expect, there might be a lot of hugging, kissing, being loud, and overly excited to see that individual. And what we find here is these greetings, of course, are inappropriate as to the level of closeness. So again, an acquaintance and not a friend. But also, they're embarrassing, and they tend to be more intense the more public the greeting is. So what we see here sometimes with these types of greetings is that individuals will avoid individuals with histrionic personality disorder in public. They don't want to meet them in public because they are quite embarrassed by these really attention-seeking and dramatic types of greetings. The next symptom criterion is being suggestible. Now, we know that individuals with histrionic personality disorder tend to be indecisive. We also know that the level of suggestibility seems to be related to how much authority that other individual has. So an individual with this disorder is going to be more trusting of an authority figure. So if I go back to the example before of a professional relationship, say that an individual with this disorder has taken their automobile to a mechanic, and the automobile really cannot be repaired within reason. So the mechanic suggests that they have a favorite make of vehicle, let's say Chevrolet. They think that Chevrolets are really the best, and that every model of Chevrolet is superior. Well, the individual with histrionic personality disorder might tell all their friends how much they like Chevrolet, how they're going to buy this particular type of car, how it's the best type of vehicle. And when they end up going to a dealer, they walk into a Ford dealer. And the salesperson at the Ford dealer sells them on the idea that Ford is really the best type of vehicle. So they were committed to Chevrolet because the mechanic said that that was the best type of vehicle, and now they're buying a Ford. We see a number of examples like this with product loyalty and histrionic personality disorder. And what's interesting is the level of authority I mentioned before. So sometimes it'll just be a matter of changing product loyalty because another person suggested they should, or sometimes they'll really tend to take the advice of the person with the highest level of authority in a given time frame. The next symptom criterion, criterion 8, is regarding relationships as more intimate than they really are. And sometimes we also think of this as having this component of believing there's a romantic element in a relationship when there isn't. But of course, that isn't required here for the symptom criterion. So an example of this might be, say, in a work setting where an individual comes into work sad, an individual with histrionic personality disorder, comes into work sad, and one of their coworkers who they don't really know is in the office next to them. And they come over and ask them if they might have a few minutes. They sit down and they supply them with a lot of detail about their sadness. They ask them to keep the conversation confidential. They thank them for always being there. So really, they treat the relationship in terms of information flow as being really intimate and close. And this usually leaves the other person a bit bewildered, wondering how they moved from barely knowing the person in the office next to them to hearing all these different details about their life. So those are the 8 symptom criteria and some examples that go along with them. It's important, of course, to keep in mind that it takes 5 of 8 for a diagnosis, as I mentioned before, and a diagnosis can only be made by a licensed and qualified clinician. It's also important to note here that histrionic personality disorder is a little bit of a controversial personality disorder. A lot of the other personality disorders are fairly well established, but there is research that suggests, and different opinions that suggest, that histrionic personality disorder really doesn't hold together very well as a distinct classification. And even though we associate this disorder with impairment, it doesn't have any relationship with a lower quality of life. It doesn't have any relationship with decreased social functioning, which is a bit of a surprise when you hear the symptom criteria. And it tends to be associated with career success in areas where creativity is valued. So it has some negatives to it, but also some positives. So histrionic personality disorder, as I mentioned, again, a bit unusual when we compare it to other disorders like borderline personality disorder or narcissistic or antisocial personality disorders, which are almost universally thought of as negative and impairing functioning. The same really can't be said of histrionic personality disorder, at least not with the same confidence.
For more content like this, check out Healthy Toxic, another podcast from Ars Longa Media, all about what makes or breaks relationships, including issues related to narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and how personality disorders affect relationships. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis. Learn more at arslonga.media.
Welcome to the Bravery Academy. My name is Emma Ferris and I'm your host. This podcast is crafted to share the stories of courageous individuals who've overcome adversity and found the courage to live their best lives. We'll explore the science of well-being, courage and connection, and interview top thought leaders, game changers, and survivors. It is from these stories that we learn what resilience is, how to heal, how to recover, and how to be brave.